a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born again? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet we do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we read about Nicodemus, this elderly man who came to visit Jesus under cover of night. So he was a Pharisee, and visiting Jesus wouldn't have been a popular thing to do, and it wouldn't have been a safe thing to do for him. But he was drawn to Jesus because he recognized the hand of God and what he'd seen Jesus do. And we know from reading through John's Gospel that Nicodemus did truly believe Jesus and that he continued to believe in Jesus. Later on in chapter 7, when Jesus' popularity was really gaining ground and the chief priests and Pharisees had decided to nip things in the bud and have Jesus arrested, we see Nicodemus taking a very serious risk of speaking up on Jesus' behalf. Does our law judge a person without first listening to what he has to say? He asked them. And he got a pretty scathing rebuke from his colleagues. What, you a Galilean too? They said. You know perfectly well no prophet ever came from Galilee. But then again, in chapter 19 of John's Gospel, we see Nicodemus again going public right after Jesus had been executed by the Roman authorities, bringing a great quantity of spices and oils and helping Joseph of Arimathea prepare Jesus' body for burial. So today we see just the beginning of this relationship that he had with Jesus. And at their very first meeting, Jesus shocked Nicodemus by telling him the only way he was ever going to reach God was to start all over again. From the very beginning, be born again just like a newborn baby. And Nicodemus was dumbfounded. He was pretty sure he was too old to start all over again. What do you mean, born again? Because the phrase in Greek has that dual meaning, born again, born from above. You think an old man can go back into his mother's womb and be born a second time, he said. And he made it sound as ridiculous as he possibly could, because to him this whole idea sounded ridiculous. To be told that you have to start all over again when you're already old and when you feel like you're already there, wherever there is terrifying. Nicodemus was an old man, he was a successful man. And in the eyes of his fellow Pharisees, his neighbors, his family, he had arrived. He was a teacher, he was a follower, and an expert on the law of Moses. And that had taken him years and years of study, hard work. But here was Jesus telling him he had to start all over again, to let go of what he knew, to get ready to follow God's Spirit, which Jesus told him wasn't something you could pin down and study and memorize and become an expert in. The Spirit, Jesus said, it's like a wind that blows where it wants to, so you never know where it's coming from. You never know where it's going. Imagine that you're standing on the edge of a cliff, and everything you've ever known, everything you've accomplished, is solid and safe and sure at your back. And then somebody tells you that if you want to follow God, all you have to do is take one step forward, off the edge of the cliff, into thin air. That's what Nicodemus must have felt like when Jesus spoke to him. It's like a man who retires from a job he's been working at for 40 or 50 years, trying to imagine what he's going to do in the day stretching ahead of him. Who is he going to be when he's no longer an electrician or a teacher or a bricklayer, which he has been for as long as he can remember? It's like a woman whose last child heads off to college, looking around at her empty house and empty beds and silent, empty hours stretching ahead of her. It's like pretty much anybody, young or old, just leaving home, graduating from college, losing a job, after a divorce, after the death of a loved one. Entering into an entirely new life is one of the scariest things that human beings are asked to do. And it's maybe scariest of all when we feel like we're just old and tired. But Jesus told Nicodemus that was what he had to do. I think when we hear the term born again, which is the usual translation here, many of us have it associated with a certain kind of fundamentalist Christianity. Born again seems to be mostly identified with people who obey the Ten Commandments, take the Bible at face value, and go to church several times a week and sing worship choruses. Born again Christians often say they're born again because of the things that they've chosen to do, the things they choose to believe, the way they choose to live. But actually, the term born again doesn't belong to any one branch of Christianity. It belongs to Jesus. It's his metaphor, not ours. And the Greek has that double meaning, not only born again, but born from above. Just as he said in his prologue to the gospel, to his gospel, he said, to those who received him, he gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. One reason that Jesus used this metaphor of birth is exactly because birth is something, not something that we choose, not something that we do. It's something that happens to us. Think, is there any time that you are less in control of your life than when you are on your way through the birth canal and into this world that you know knew nothing about? And that's just what makes birth such a good metaphor for faith, because faith means relinquishing control. It means prying our fingers off the steering wheel and handing the direction of our life to God. That's what Jesus is calling us to do when he tells us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily. He's asking us to let go of our selfishness and our anger and our jealousy and fear, but also to let go of our big plans and our hopes and our certainties about what's going to happen. And that's hard. That's painful sometimes. But when we trust Jesus enough to let those things go, were born once again through the process of rebirth and renewal that is our life and faith in Christ. Then we're delivered from the bondage of human expectations and rules and traditions, and we're led by this entirely unpredictable breath of the Holy Spirit who fills our lungs when we emerge gasping and wide-eyed into the fresh mercies of God's new day. This process of being reborn by faith is never as neat and tidy and controllable as just getting baptized, following the commandments, having your daily quiet time, and spreading the gospel, as good as all those things are. If birth is a good symbol at all of the life of faith, and Jesus seems to think it was, it is at least in part a good symbol because living by faith is messy. Sometimes it's scary, sometimes it's exhausting, and sometimes it's painful. Control or no, birth is not an easy journey for the baby to make any more than it is for the mother. But birth is the only journey that leads us into life. So here's the thing. When Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again or born from above if he wanted to enter the kingdom of God, he was not telling him he had to do and believe the right thing so he could go to heaven when he died. And I think that's very often the way that people understand what Jesus is saying here. But the kingdom of God that Jesus is speaking of is not life after death. It's abundant life starting right now, living and being reborn day by day, being transformed from glory into glory, as Paul put it. Every day we are reborn, and we look forward to the time when the birth pangs are finally at an end, and when the whole creation is brought forth at last in fullness and perfect, deathless health. We look forward to the time when everything that has been lost through the brokenness of the world, all the things that have been destroyed, all the beloved people that we have lost, will be restored to us. But now, today, as we make the journey of death and rebirth with Christ day by day, we already see the kingdom of God which is broken through the darkness. We already hear the voice of the Spirit whose breath fills our lungs. It's a journey. It's a hard journey. It's long. Sometimes it's tiring, but it's the only journey that leads to life. And we are never too old. It's never too late. And God's mercies never fail to strengthen and refresh us. And we never travel alone because Jesus, the God who is with us, it's his name, Emmanuel. He's chosen to go through this whole process with us purely and simply because he loves us so much. When my little brother was born, I was 7 years old, and I was just at the right age to be aware by eavesdropping on conversations and generally being nosy of the messier aspects of childbirth. I was just beginning to form that rudimentary understanding of the whole where do babies come from issue. So when he was born, I drilled my mother with urgent questions about things like pain and blood and stitches. And I'll never forget what she told me. After she had carefully answered all my questions, as good mothers do, she told me that after her babies were born, and there were three of us, she never remembered the pain because she was so full of joy to hold that new little life that had come into the world. And after bringing 10 children into the world, I know that she was right. What stays in my mind as I remember the details of all those births, of all those wonderful little guys that I held in my arms, is that astounding joy of seeing and feeling and hearing this brand new little person who has entered into the world. Every Friday during Lent, we hold this simple service called the Stations of the Cross, and I know many or all of you have participated at one time or another. We follow these icons around the room, and they bring us step by step through our Lord's Passion, from one step to the next, his arrest, his beating, his falling under the heavy burden of the cross, his meeting with the weeping women, the pain of his grieving mother, the unthinkable sorrow of his death. In that short but momentous journey that we make every Friday, we're following the Son of God through the dark birth passage of suffering and death. It's not an easy journey to make. Even in remembrance, it's not easy. But when we remember that the pain of Christ's passion was birth pangs into life, eternal life for all of us, and for the whole of creation, then that terrible pain is transformed into joy, into hope. We know that the incarnation and passion and death of Jesus Christ did not end up in the tomb like a stillborn child who will never see the light of day. We know the joy of Easter morning. The glorious joy of the resurrection eclipses every memory of pain and suffering and loss so that we can follow our Lord even through his passion in the assurance that out of all pain and all weariness